Grace, mercy, and peace be with you here this day from our triune God. Amen. So you might say that timing is everything. Well, if not everything, then at least almost everything. Let me give you an example. There was an Italian priest by the name of Giovanni Casilli who developed the first commercial fax system between Paris and Lyon back in 1865. He called this mysterious invention of his the pentelegraph. But nobody back at that time actually got it. In fact, nobody even tried to manufacture it. Casilli was simply way too far ahead of his time. And so the pentelegraph sat around there as sort of an unused idea for nearly a century until there was finally a machine that was able to send faxes out. So the world had to catch up and to where Casilli was. Now, do you think that this couldn't even happen maybe in more recent times? Well, let me give you another example. Consider that the researchers at the Xerox Corporation developed the first computer mouse as early as back in 1970. That was a full 15 years before it was ever used. So for a decade and a half, that mouse just simply sat there on the shelf waiting for a market. And then through the techno-wizardry of Steve Jobs and Apple Computer, the mouse finally became a viable and indeed an integral part of standard computer desktop operations. But that wasn't until 1985. And as we are probably many of us going to celebrate Cyber Monday tomorrow and be online doing a lot of our early Christmas shopping, we might want to remind ourselves that it's that same mouse which has turned many of us these days into mouse potatoes as well. Well, one might say as well that Jesus had the second greatest sense of timing ever known. Now, he knew when to reveal certain things, and he knew when not to. In fact, his out-of-sync disciples often chafed under Jesus's precise kind of tutelage, wanting to be told more, wanting to see more, to experience more, to know more. But Jesus steadfastly kept to God's timetable, admitting that my time has not yet come. And in fact, a great sense of timing was one of the keys, I think, to Jesus' ministry, because he knew when to step forward and to lead a crowd, and also when it was time to slip away unnoticed. He knew that there were times in the course of the year to fast and other times to feast. And he kept both of those according to his own schedule. Jesus knew that there were times when he had to protect and conserve his energies, and there were other times where he must expend even more of his reserves when encountering a large crowd of needy followers who were surrounding him. And Jesus calls on all of us, I think, as well, to read the signs of the times and to know the times that we inhabit, that we might live more fully into the time that God has chosen for us to live in. Now, it would serve, I think, us well to remember something else here today. And that is that the Gospels reveal that Jesus wasn't the only one here who had a keen sense of timing. The devil, too, was equally canny at his discerning of the most advantageous time for his work as well. You might recall that when Satan failed to defeat Jesus in the desert, he swiftly then withdrew and waited until an opportune time. That opportune time, of course, being grasped at the Mount of Olives. Jesus' sense of timing was certainly superb, but as I mentioned to you already, it was not only worthy of second place. In this morning's gospel reading, it reveals to us that only the Father is the one who ultimately has that timetable between the movements that take place in the universe. It's God who orchestrates the timing of the Messiah's humble birth to a pair of seemingly insignificant parents in an unremarkable tiny little village located in a foreign occupied country, an agriculturally barren, politically incorrect nation during a pre-technological, indeed barely civilized period of human history. But in God's divine plan, you see, it was the perfect time, the perfect place, and the perfect circumstance. It was God's sense of timing that divided Jesus' earthly life into 30 years of preparation and then 3 years of public ministry. It was God's sense of timing that kept Jesus always on the move, putting him right there in the midst of the people instead of requiring that the people come to him. Now, we can not hope to, I think, fully understand God's sense of timing, especially if neither the angels of heaven nor the Son are privy to this divine schedule of events. Therefore, it's a cinch that no simple mortal human being like us are going to be able to get a printout of the timetable that God has in mind. Jesus' words to his disciples here in today's gospel reading urge us, in fact, not to worry about God's sense of timing, but instead to be concerned more about our own state of readiness. Keep watch. Stay awake. Be prepared. This is what Jesus counsels us to do. Don't worry. Don't stew. Don't fret. Don't complain about the things that you have no control over. In fact, I was just thinking the other day about the recent evolutions that we've seen in the telephone. And I think this can even demonstrate just how well we have enabled ourselves now to be prepared for imprecise scheduling of events in the postmodern lives that we live in today. I mean, think about it, those of you who are old enough. You know, it used to be that if you were waiting for an important telephone call to come in, you had pretty much little choice other than to sit right there by your telephone all day waiting for the phone to ring. And then came this remarkable thing called call forwarding. And you could program your phone to ring your anticipated call through a different phone number, so that way you could be in one of two different places and still be able to get your call. And then with the advent of the cordless phone, we still had more freedom of location that was possible. You could now go outside and you could maybe finish weeding out the flower bed and not miss that call that you were waiting for. Then finally, with the explosion of the cellular phones, it would seem that all of this spatial freedom is pretty much now mostly complete. I mean, by being properly prepared and equipped, you can pretty much go virtually anywhere and do virtually anything and still not miss that phone call or that text message or that email. Any place has now become every place. And in fact, many folks today, I don't think, even have a landline in their homes anymore. Or they don't maybe have an office that they go to, per se. Instead, they have this virtual office that allows them to do business wherever it is they may be or wherever they go. On the on-time ones that Jesus is citing here in this morning's gospel reading were what we might call the cellularly connected Christians of their age. You know, it's the on-time man working out in the field, and the on-time woman grinding grain at the mill as compared to their unprepared counterparts. They were busy laboring at their daily tasks, apparently wholly focused on the jobs that they were doing. But They had this cellular connection to the Messiah. And so when the Messiah called, they received the message and then they gladly took the invitation. So for us to be on-time cellular Christians today does not rely on any pricey piece of iPhone or Android technology. The cells that must keep us attuned to Christ's frequency must be each and every cell of our own human bodies. If our bodies can become, you see, receivers open to the vibrations of the Holy Spirit, if our souls can amplify those signals that we pick up and then transmit them to all who we come in contact with, then we have become cellular Christians who are living on-time lives. So each and every Advent season, this is a time that is ripe for meeting Christ anew. So let us take note of what our gospel reading for today is encouraging us to do. Don't fall asleep. Keep watch for his presence among us. Don't be late for Christmas. Be on time. Amen.